Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Living for eternity, today is a session entitled Our Resurrected Bodies. And my hope here is to talk about our resurrected bodies, to make this far more normal, to kind of rewrite whatever ideas we have about the resurrection, to get the Word of God written on our hearts. This is, actually, when it comes to eternal rewards, our resurrected body is probably our single greatest eternal reward. And one of the things that we'll be spending a number of sessions talking about is how our bodies will not all be the same. And just like our eternal rewards in heaven will not all be the same, our eternal bodies, our resurrected bodies will not all be the same. But the worst one is epic. I mean, the one that gets the worst resurrected body, whoever's like, yeah, I got the short end of the stick, I only got this epically glorified body, will still be very, very happy forever. And so my hope here today is just to kind of talk about the resurrection, a resurrected body, as super normal future for you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 22, 31 through 32. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And this is Jesus just trying to make it so clear. Hey, even people that died a really, really long time ago, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I mean, they died a long time ago. They are still awaiting a resurrection of the dead. They are going to receive a resurrected body. That's really cool, really awesome, really good news. I mean, that transcends thousands of years of time and the statement that this is still a reality. And this is Jesus just talking about this, artfully dodging. This is Jesus just talking about how, this is just such a normal part of life and of our future and what should be our expectation. And I'm so grateful that Jesus talked about it so plainly, like it's not some mysterious thing or something that can't be known. It's something that should be understood and embraced and be in the regular dialogue of the believer, that we talk about our resurrection that's coming. So I want to rewrite some of the thought processes that we have just by using Bible. I mean, that's what we want. We want to constantly renew our minds by the Word of God and have the Word take the place of ideas we saw in movies or heard from a friend or heard from a preacher that accidentally preached something that wasn't Bible. We want to get the Word of God written in our hearts. Now, one of the things that's a fun and interesting reality about life, and this is something that we all know, we all have either in our personal life or through relationships that we've got, we all understand what it is that there is something about the quality of life that's related to our health. That those that have got really poor health, their quality of living is inarguably, lessened. It's shortened, or not necessarily their lifespan, but just their abilities, their capacities, the fullness of what they can pull off. And so this understanding that we all have related to our health, and that having dynamic impact on the quality of our life. What does it look like? I mean, just think about when you're totally laid up, sick in bed. The quality of your life is kind of simple. You're in bed. It's probably soup and whatever show. I mean, it's like you're just not really going anywhere. There's not a lot going on. But when you're fully healthy, you're able to move around, you're able to do whatever you want, there's just such an increase of quality of life. When we start talking about the subject of the resurrection, we're really talking about the most epic version of a quality of life, of purity, of health, of strength in our frame. I mean, we're talking about an epic version of life, way better than whatever we were in our prime and our best moments here on earth. Now, the quality of living is dynamically related to our resurrected body. So I want you to kind of be thinking about that. Don't just think, I get a resurrected body, I'm going to live forever. Think about what living looks like. When you're sick, a little better than sick, in pretty good shape, in epic shape. What is way better than epic shape? That's what the resurrection is. And your quality of living is going to be incredible. Not only your quality, but But the other thing that we recognize is the variance that we have in strengths, experience, gifts of the Holy Spirit here in this age. There's variance in the way that we express life, in the way that we relate to one another, in the things that we're good at, things that we care about, just all the differences about us, strengths and skills. In the age to come, when we receive a resurrected body, you're going to have full access to the complete ability that you were ever able to have. I mean, right now we're really operating in a pretty limited sense, even the best of us in our prime. We're operating according to some significant limitations. But in the age to come, when we receive the resurrection, you, really you, not ghost floaty you that gets a new body, can't really relate to you, you, same height, same smile, you are going to get a resurrected body and you're going to get full access to your capacities. We've never known that before. I mean, we have no idea what that is like. And for any of you that have ever discovered a new skill, you made it, 10, 20, 50 years, and you didn't even know you were good at this thing. You didn't know you knew how to do this. You didn't know that if you put a little time and energy into this, that it would be cool and that you'd actually enjoy that new thing. If you've ever discovered a kind of dormant skill or a dormant ability or something in your life, it's really cool to find out, oh my gosh, I had no idea I could have been doing this my whole life. You're going to have so many aha moments like that in the resurrection because you're going to start to touch things that were always there, always part of who you were and what you were able to do that you just had no idea you could do. To be thinking about that is a really great version of the future. I mean, that is a great prospect. I was talking to Luke Cooper earlier today. We were talking about a resurrected body. And this phrase came out of my mouth, and as soon as I said it, I was like, ooh, that was a good one. I like that phrase. We'll preach that. And that is, our future is bright. I mean, just thinking about what awaits us. We have a very bright future in relationship to the resurrection. And while we also, in this age, we're going to face troubles, we're going to have many difficulties, if we will live for the resurrection and invest in that body, that age, we'll put our minds and our headspace there, give us tremendous strength in this age to overcome so many different difficulties. Well, let's talk about these new bodies. You get new ones. This is going to be pretty awesome because some of us have really suffered through whatever difficulties in health. I can think of a number of people that we know, some in this church, that have had significant health setbacks, other family members. All of us, though, even at our best, have significant limitations. But these new bodies aren't going to operate quite like these deficient ones that we're in right now. I just want to make it clear, because this is just good to know what the Word of God has to say about this. Daniel 12:2 and John 5, it's actually Jesus really giving commentary on Daniel 12 is really what's happening here. But these two verses, and others besides, they tell us that it's not just righteous people that get a resurrected body. Everybody gets one. Wicked people get resurrected bodies. Let's look at this. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. John 5, I tell you the truth, the time is coming, has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. It's really interesting, the subject of the resurrection and the body that we get, whether wicked or righteous, is actually so that we can fully experience the environment we wind up in. You know, we know the verses that talk about the worm never dying and the fire never being quenched. I just want you to think about a perishable body going to hell. A perishable body that goes to hell would burn up and 5 minutes later there's no body. But an imperishable body, a resurrected body, because we all get a resurrected body because we were all made in the image of God. All of us. Lost and saved, believer, unbeliever, wicked and righteous. Everybody was made in the image of God. We didn't just appear on planet Earth like so many of the atheists would try to tell us and all the evolutionary theorists. That's not who we are. We were created in the image of God. And because we were created in the image of God, we're going to be like God and live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. And our bodies are actually given to us in the age to come and beyond so that we can fully experience the environment we wind up in, heaven or hell. Well, the righteous that are alive when Jesus comes are going to get a resurrected body at his return. Look at Psalm 50. If you didn't know this verse related to the receiving of a resurrected body, it's a great one. Psalm 53 through 5. Our God comes and will not be silent. This is actually talking about the period of the second coming and all the wild stuff that's going to happen when Jesus Christ appears in the sky. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and all around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones. This is Jesus giving the charge. It's now time to gather those that are on earth that are alive when he comes, gather to me the consecrated ones, the ones that love Jesus at the second coming. Gather them, bring them up. It's the rapture. He's saying, gather them to me. But it's not just those that are alive, the dead in Christ, because remember Jesus said, Abraham and Jacob, you know, these guys, they're awaiting their resurrection too. They actually, since they were here first, they get resurrected bodies first. So if we are here when Jesus shows up, we get beaten out by Abraham, and I think that's probably okay. That seems fair to me. It says this, 1 Thessalonians 4, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those that are alive when he comes will get resurrected bodies. Those that have died in the past, whether that was 5 minutes before Jesus shows up, 5 years, 500 years, they will receive a resurrected body first, and all of that is just going to be the wildest moment for planet Earth. I mean, watching your friends fly and pointing at them and laughing and just kind of seeing them change as they go up or whatever that works. I mean, it's going to be a wild ride. And just so you know, you're going to witness the dead rise first. So, I mean, if you're here when Jesus comes back, you're going to look and go, man, you know what? It's tomorrow. I know that's when this is all going down. I think I'm just going to go hang out by the graveyard. I'm going to watch Granddad come up. You know he's going to be smiling. He's like, I'm going to be the first to see it. I'm going to go because we came right up out of the ground. Look at you go, man. We're going to watch the resurrection of the dead before we even receive our resurrected bodies. It is going to be a spectacle. I'm telling you, that is the time to have your eyes open. It's going to be a wild ride. And that's the point. It's Jesus making the loudest proclamation about who's really in charge. Oh, you can do sin. You can make laws. I get to raise the dead. In fact, I'm going to raise them all at the same moment. I'm going to raise all the righteous are going to get a resurrected body. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild ride. Well, let's talk about this new body that we get, because the Bible gives a ton of information on this. This is not a subject that the Word is silent on. This is one that we're actually given significant information about, that if we'll just chew on it a little, meditate, we'll get clarity, and it'll be easier to see ourselves in this resurrection because we'll be thinking about what the Word of God says about it. I don't know about you. I'd rather know the truth. I want to know what the Word says, and the Word of God can be mined. There is gold in this Bible. So let's look. What does the Word say about this new body we're going to get? Because I'll tell you what, friends, is different. It is different than the current one you got. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, talking about our current one, is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. First thing I want to say is we'll all be changed. This is our future. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. We will not all sleep, meaning not everybody's going to die before Jesus comes back. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We will be changed. And then he goes on to tell us what that change looks like. That's part of the reason I just gave you those verses that we just looked at, 42 through 44, raised in power, spiritual body. But we're going to be changed. We're going to experience a dramatic transformation in our body, and it's going to be incredible. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised and will be changed. I just love that word changed because it does give us some perspective on how different things will be in this new body. It's still us. We'll still be recognizable to one another, but there'll be some properties that are very different and awesome that are very much the opposite of so many of the properties that we've been used to for our stint of life here. Well, what are those properties? First, it's sown in honor, it's raised in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:43. Sown in dishonor. So I just want you to think about your current body and whatever it is that in your mind, you don't got to tell us nothing, that you would say about your body that was sown in dishonor. Little things, little imperfections, things that are wrong with you. Just the nature, the sin nature that we have, that the proneness we have to fallenness. A body that is sown in dishonor says that body, which is the only body you've ever known. You've never known a different version. That's the only version you've ever known. So it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be raised in glory. So we really could ask the question, when asked, how are you doing today? I'm glorious. Because you will be. It's coming. You will be glorious. You will be raised in glory. That is a different body than the one I'm used to. That is a different frame. That is exciting. That is a really bright future. Like, man, well, what else? Not just raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. Man, I just think about how powerless I feel sometimes, how weak I feel, how frail, how unable. Going back again to the concept of sickness, and it's like, man, sickness has the power to really drain us. You know, you get hurt in an accident or something. It's got the power to really limit us and make us weak. There's weakness not only of our body, but of our mind. There's all sorts of weakness. And so just any way that you can relate to weakness, because that's the only body you've ever had, is a weak one. Some of y'all strongies, you're still weak. The best you've got is still weak by comparison, but it won't be that way. It's going to be raised in power. What does it look like when God goes, yeah, I made humanity, I made mankind, I said it was good, but what I'm about to do, I'm saying is powerful. I don't know about you, I cannot wait to be powerful. I cannot wait for it to be the reality that my daily walking about is raised in power. I'm feeling the power of Christ's resurrection flowing through me. I'm able, I'm always able, I'm abundantly able. I cannot wait. That is awesome. That is our future. All of the weakness that we've experienced in this age, so whether that weakness came from you were born that way, you developed that way, something happened to you that way, and you became weak. And remember, it's the only version of body you got is a weak one. Whatever you would define as your current weakness, it's not your permanent state. You're going to be raised in power. Guys, I can't overstate. I just know we're going to reference this statement. I just know it. I can't overstate how for a minute we're alive in this age and how forever you continue to live and make memories and have conversations and reference moments like, hey, remember that time we were on planet Earth back at Foreigner Fellowship and Brad said we're only alive for a minute in this age, but then for billions times trillions of years we have a resurrected body? Your resurrected body is far more your reality than this one. You're alive in this state for 1 minute. 80 years, 100, 10, whatever you get. It's a minute. You're going to live forever with a resurrected body. That's the real conversation. That's the real you. Right now you're in an internship. You're going to graduate out of this internship in a minute, and you're going to get a resurrected body that's raised in power, and that was always God's idea for you. Mostly when he thought of you, he wasn't thinking mostly of your 80 years of weakness. He was mostly thinking of your quadrillion years of raised in power. That's who you are. That's who you were created to be. we gotta like start living for reality. We gotta start living for the real and the true and the long term, and not for the temporal. I just want this. I just want to get as much of this. YOLO. Forget YOLO. You live forever. It's not even true. YOLO is not even true. You live forever. YOLO will rob you of your inheritance. That thought process will rob you of what you could be and what you could have. You do not live once. You only live once in this life. You are going to live forever. And it matters. It matters. It's raised in power. It's raised a spiritual body. Look at that one. It's back to that 1 Corinthians 15, 44. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual one. There's just a lot there that we don't have unpacked yet. Think about, for those of you who've ever seen one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, and how different it is when the gift of the Holy Spirit operates versus whatever natural thing that would be closest to it operates. Gift of healing versus going to the doctor. Okay? You go to the doctor, they give you the thing, they do the thing, they poke at you, and you walk out sometimes a little better than when you walked in. Hopefully. Sometimes worse. Versus the gift of healing. Boom! Healed. I was talking to my friend yesterday, and Murray Hebert of 111 Global, he was talking about how his father-in-law during COVID almost died, and in the midst of it, they were praying like crazy for him, and I believe he's like about 80 years old. I mean, maybe he's 75. He got new lungs by the Lord. They prayed for him, and he got new lungs, and the doctors were baffled because they said, you have new lungs like you're like a youth. You have better lungs than anybody your age. You are on your deathbed and going to die. Like, doctors can't do that. That's not what happens. Here's the reason I make all that differentiation between a natural remedy and a spiritual one. It's that level of different. All you've ever known is a natural body that operates according to natural principles. That's how you were sown. You were sown a natural body. But you'll be raised a spiritual body, and it will be night and day different. You will have a spiritual body. It will be incredible forever. You'll be victorious. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Do you check this? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death. We think about death as the most final, death as the most, ending, awful moment, awful thing. It's like, no, actually, death gets swallowed up in the victory of the resurrection. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have victory. We're going to have victory, finally. Finally, forever, we're going to have victory. All of us that have been struggling with this or that or with denial because you're struggling and won't admit it. All of us that have been struggling, we're going to have victory forever. It's all swallowed up in death. It's just all of death and the sting and that weakness, it's all swallowed up in the victory that we have when we receive the resurrection. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces and remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. We're going to have victory. I don't know, to me, that's even better than all the cool stuff about my body. The resurrected body and all the ways to just know I'm not going to have failure anymore. I'm not going to need to repent. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to have power to say yes to God in a way that is full and wholehearted, in a way that right now I'm only able to have a bit of a shadow and a whisper of what I really want. We're going to have victory. We're going to have victory, fullness of victory over whatever it is, whether it's sin or weakness or difficulty or circumstance. We're going to have victory. That is awesome. Our life forever is going to be marked by victory. That is the future. So it's like, okay, so 80 years and you got problems. It's 80 years. It's 80. It's not 800 million. You have 800 million years of victory, and you're just getting started. That was kindergarten. Guys, our perspective is so jacked up. We live like the lost. We think like the lost. Oh, my life is this. That's not who you are. forever. You're going to laugh at how our perspective was so weak and silly and simplistic and carnal. We're going to laugh at former self, the one that we are living in right now, this reality. We are going to laugh at ourselves and our perspective. You remember back in 2022 when we thought we were going to die and that was the end? Remember when we were all concerned about problems we were having, light and momentary afflictions? What was wrong with us? Let's get the revelation now and not live that way. Let's see it, our future. This is real. This is real. It's concrete. The new body that we get is indestructible, which is really bad news for the Antichrist army. Because when we all get resurrected bodies and we're coming against the Antichrist army, and he'll have some hundreds of million bad guys with really good guns, and we're like, guns. He's so silly. I have a resurrected body. I'm raised in power, boy. It's like the guns and tanks and bombs and whatever else they got, it's not going to touch us. We're just going to look at that, stick our finger right in the end of that butt of that gun, let them blow, and it blows them up. Indestructible. Look at this. Luke 20, 35 through 36. Those who are considered worthy to take part in that age and the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die. They can no longer die. Never again. Think about how, what a guiding principle the concept of not dying is in this current age. Think about how many things we do and don't do because we don't want to die. Things that we're like, we invest in, activities we avoid, you know. Not too many people go jumping out of planes without parachutes. It's probably an advisable idea to not jump out of a plane with no parachute. You can do it all you want, the age to come, because you can't die. I don't know, do you bounce, do you fly? I don't have all those details worked out. One thing I'm sure of is you can't die. You just straight up can't die. And right now in this age, the fear of death is one of the most marketable things in all of humanity. Take this supplement, do this, you know, join this gym, start this, stop doing this, get more of these, get less of those, because we're constantly trying to figure out how to not die. That will no longer even be a subject anybody talks about anymore. It's not on the table. It's not part of life. You can't die. That is epic. Revelation 21, verse 4. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Right now, we're in that order. We are in the old order. I don't know if you knew that or not. This is not the first order. It's the old order. You are living right now in the old order of things. And that time will pass. And the rules of this old order will also pass. And it will be a shift. It will be incredible. Part of the reason that we receive the resurrection, I already alluded to this in kind of a little opening. Part of the reason we receive a resurrected body is because you can't operate in the kingdom of heaven in any way to the fullness of what you were intended with a non-resurrected body. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 15:50. I declare to you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. 15:53 says, for the perishable, that's you, that's your current body that's fading, that perishes. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's when the victory is swallowed up, is when we receive the resurrection. Immortal, imperishable. Imperishable. I've got some bread over at the prayer room that I believe is imperishable, at least for the moment. Imperishable is awesome. Just think about how long you could leave that food in the fridge. Just stay there forever. You can leave it on the counter. Ooh. Imperishable. It's not fading. It's not susceptible to all the natural order of things that deplete and that decay. Your body will be imperishable. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get weak. It doesn't get deteriorated by circumstance. I mean, whatever would happen, it's imperishable. That's you're indestructible. indestructible, never fading, with the glory of God resting on you. This is really, really awesome. This is truth. Now listen, there's a lot of things about your life I can't tell you. How's this going to go? What's the job going to be? Relationship situation? You know, what's going to happen with the family member? I don't know. I do know you're going to get an imperishable, resurrected body, and that's better news than whatever bad news you face this week. I mean, really, really much better news. But we're like so focused on, I stubbed my toe. It's like, guys, we got to get over this. For real. Whatever our light and momentary affliction is, it's toe stubbing by comparison to what's coming. You're going to get a resurrected body that's imperishable and indestructible, that's immortal, that has power on it and glory on it. And we're like, yeah, but I owe taxes. What? What? So-and-so's mad. Who cares about so-and-so? Why are we so concerned with this stuff that's, I mean, so concerned? I don't mean concerned a little bit so we can resolve an issue. Oh, I got to pay taxes, so I need to do this. I get the tax paid. Oh, this person's mad, so I need to try to make them not mad. Oh, I've got this work I got to do, so I got to do the work. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about so concerned. Why are we so concerned about the things of this life and not concerned at all about the fact that we're going to get an imperishable, indestructible, resurrected body forever? I just think we're having the wrong conversation right now. And that the angels are like, do they know their future? Just imagine the angels. I'm always imagining conversations that angels are having about me and laughing at me. I don't know. Maybe I got some insecurity issues. I would just imagine angels are like, what is he thinking right now? Like, why does he care about that? Does he not know he gets a resurrected body? Could somebody tell him to open up 1 Corinthians 15 again? Some of us need to open up 1 Corinthians 15 again. I mean, some of us need to camp out there a little bit and get some perspective, because we have so much to look forward to. See, the Word of God has power to transform your mind and your attitude and your spirit and your life trajectory. The problem is we don't believe it enough or go to it enough. We believe more of our natural environment and the things that we encountered this week. We believe that to be more real than the Word of God. But if we believe the Word, it has power to transform us. We have a really, really bright future. A really bright one. I'll leave you with this one. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 54. The mortal must clothe itself with immortality. And when the mortal has clothed itself with immortality, then the saying will be true that death is swallowed up in victory. This idea of going from mortal to immortal. When you think about the term, if we weren't doing a study right now on eternal rewards and living for eternity, if you just asked anybody out there, anybody just on the street, what does it mean to be immortal? Probably most people, if they thought about it for a minute, we'd kind of be like God. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. It's God's plan to bring us into his family, made us in his image, that we would actually get to be immortal like God is immortal. We're not mortal anymore. Right now we're mortal. We have all the rules of mortality. That's not your future. Your future is you will become immortal, whatever that is. However big and epic and unending and promise-filled that is, immortal like God, that's your future. That's really, really awesome. So as we spend a number of sessions, a number of weeks talking about our resurrected body, I want to encourage you, don't just hear these verses, you know, on a Sunday morning. Meditate on these things. Pray about these. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and other passages and just fuel your mind on it. Get your perspective so that your perspective isn't limited like it probably currently is, where we're mostly thinking about the mortal life, the weak life, the restrained life, the life of the old order. But that instead we start to put our perspective on the real, real reality of our future, that we will be raised immortal forever. That's crazy.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.